Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
This message was based on a text from the book of Exodus, and the focus is on Moses and Aaron and the people of God in one of their big and probably one of their worst moments, and how God comes through for them.
The reading for today comes from Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favour with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I heard a term this week that I thought described how things are for Christian folks. Probably more often than we care to recall. The term was presence crisis, a crisis of God's presence in your life. Had a few of those, have we, over the journey? It's one thing to know in your head that God is God and He's around the place. Okay, that's fine. But it's another thing entirely to know for sure and to trust that the Lord is actually still for me. When it's been a terrible week, for example, when you've endured great heartache of some kind or experienced great pain of some sort, or you've said or you've did the wrong thing and you know it, or alternatively, you stayed quiet when you really should have said something, spoken something. Or when you're dealing with some really bad news that has cast a shadow over your future in whatever way. You know in theory that God is, and God is here, but you really want to know that He is still for you, as well as with you. Presence crisis. Well, Moses is right there, is he not? A crisis of God's presence. As we know, if you've been listening in for the last few weeks, the people have done badly, really badly, around that golden calf, you remember? Yes, God is God and He's still here, but is He still for us after what we did to Him? Is the question Moses is asking, I think. Now we hear in the book of Exodus that Moses, and get this as a description, Moses was the man who spoke face to face with the Lord as one speaks to a friend. Not a bad sentence, eh? Maybe one for your gravestone. Amazing. So Moses speaks. It's a bit of a long conversation. We only got a part of it tonight. It doesn't start terribly well. God said that he will not destroy his very disappointing people. So I guess that's a plus. That's good. He's not going to wipe them out. He thought about it, but he isn't. That's good. Okay. But things are now different between him and his people. Just like when you experience a break in a relationship that was strong and now the damage has been done and it's never quite the same. That kind of thing. So interestingly, the best that the Lord seems to be able to do now is to call in a third party to do the leading of his people and not himself. Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised. I will send an angel before you to drive out the locals and all that stuff. But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. My picture is a mum who's absolutely frazzled after being with a little guy, a little naughty guy, all day. And dad comes home and she goes, "Here, you have him, because I've had it." It's a bit like that, it seems to me anyway. So the best that God seems to be able to do to keep his promises of a future and a hope and a land and all that is to send in one of his messengers, angelos, angel, an angel. Good luck, Mr. Angel. Anyway, the conversation continues, and can you sense in this conversation, or did you sense, how close, personal, trusting, and bold this conversation is? And I'd like you to hold a question. Why is that the case? So Moses says, "Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, Lord, then teach me your ways, that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people." What's Moses doing in his presence crisis? Might be instructive for you when you're in a crisis of God's presence. I think he does three things. I think Moses names it, I think he remembers, and I think he asks. Name, remember, ask. Got it? Name, remember, ask. He names the issue. "Lord, you're not coming with me, and without you, I've got no chance. And I have no confidence in myself without you." That's the issue. He remembers, or actually, in fact, he asks God to remember the promises that Moses actually knows. "You said, God, you said, you know, you did this, you started this, you made these promises. Could you please, Lord, remember what you promised me?" You know, they're still true, aren't they? Yes. And then he simply asks. He asks for what he needs. "Teach me, show me, help me. Help me move into this next bit." I think that's what you do. I think that's what I can do and you can do when you have a crisis of God's presence, when you're not sure he's still for you, even if he's with you. Name it, remember the promises, and ask. Name, remember, ask. That's how you deal with a crisis of presence. Anyway, God listens. Amazingly, God agrees to remain, after all, with Moses and the people. Whew. Okay, well, Moses is on a roll. He's like one of those guys bartering for the price of a new trailer or something. You know, he can sense there's more to be had here. I'm going to go in for the kill. So he keeps going. And this really shows us the heart of this, why this conversation is like it is. Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us. We've got no hope. Don't even send us. How will everybody know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you yourself are present with us?" What's the heart of this conversation? Well, this is certainly not some impersonal deal being made or some demand of rights on Moses, you know, case. Why so? Here's what I reckon. Because Moses is asking for the Lord and not just what he can get from God. Moses is asking for the Lord and not just what the Lord can do. That's why the conversation is so bold and so honest and so vulnerable and so open and so humble, I guess. It's a conversation between friends. It's a conversation between two people who have a relationship of trust, who know each other and want to be known by each other. This is more than just securing what can happen. Moses doesn't just want safety and security and things and power and achievement or even the Lord's blessing just by themselves. He wants the Lord himself. He wants a relationship with the Lord, his character, his story, his being, his presence, his promises, his power, his everything. Moses wants the Lord himself more than he wants what the Lord can give. The Spirit is speaking to us in our time, I believe, in this COVID time. Is this you? Is this me? Would you describe your life with God like this? You want God, you want the Lord way more than you want stuff or what he can do for you. You just actually like being in his presence, and you want to know his character, and you want to know his words, and you want to know how to be him, like him, etc. I think the Spirit is speaking to us. He's calling us back to this, wanting God more than what God can give you. Wanting the real person, the Lord. Sure, we pray for things, and we should, and we pray for people, and we pray for situations, and we pray for gifts, and we pray for abilities and the power to live in the Spirit of Jesus every day, sure. But if that's all we ever pray for, all we ever speak about, we've got a fairly distant relationship, friends. It's a kind of relationship where we want what the Lord can give more than we want the Lord. Dead opposite. We want the gifts without the conversation. You know, we want the blessing without the talk. We want all the stuff without the connection and the time and the challenge. So in this kind of scheme of things, you know what happens. God becomes a bit of a genie in a bottle. We talk to him when we get really desperate. Otherwise, pretty much nut, we don't. We don't talk at all. We have little interest in actually knowing him and being in his presence and knowing his character and his promises and his purposes for us. We just want things. And in the end, maybe someone said God becomes our private butler. His whole purpose, his sole purpose in my day is to make sure the drinks are kept up and I'm comfortable and I'm happy. He never calls me to a face-to-face conversation that's real, that has humility and honesty and possible change on my part, maybe even repentance. So I think Moses shows us here that prayer is a relationship, not a checklist. It's a conversation, not a deal. So the Lord responds, amazingly, "I will do the very thing you have asked, Moses. because I am pleased with you and I know you by your name. Prayer is a conversation founded on knowing a lot more than doing. I wonder whether you can hear this for you and your questions and your experience and your presence crisis, whatever that may be. Friends, we got more. We can speak boldly and honestly and with humility any day, any tick of the clock. We have more than Moses. We have Moses plus, as we said last week. We have the new Moses, the complete Moses. We have the Son of God. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He prays and lives in the Heavenly Father's will and purposes every moment of every day across the universe. We have the Father's love closer and more shown and revealed than Moses, even Moses, ever had. And here's what he says. Can you believe it? If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. In my name, I'll do it. So it seems to me, with our presence crisis and our many questions and our suffering and our doubts and our fears, etc., etc., we can do what Moses did, but even more. Name it, remember, and ask. Name the issue as you see it. Lodge your complaint boldly and with courage. Jesus, you're not managing my life very well at the moment. There's a few issues going on, and you promised when I was baptized that I'm your adopted child, but I don't feel like it, etc., etc. Name it, remember the promises, ask Jesus to remember the promises that he's made to you, and you'll find them in a certain book called the Scriptures, and then simply ask for what you need in the moment. Name, remember, ask. Well, Moses wants the Lord and nothing less. He goes now where angels fear to tread. Would you dare? Show me your glory, he says. It's like that movie Jerry Maguire, isn't it? Show me the money. No, a bit deeper than that, I think. Anyway, show me your glory. Lord, reveal your holy, pure, wonderful presence to me. This is what I really need. More than anything else, I need you, all of you, not just what you can do. Well, we have this. You have this as a loved person of God. The Lord has revealed his grace to you in ways Moses could never dream of. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's your Jesus. That's your Saviour. For Moses, here in this case, the Lord reveals himself in the famous crag in the rock scene. You know that one? As the Lord passes by, showing his back, shall we say. Some say backside. No, back. Showing his back only because no one can see the face of the Lord, etc. And he shields and he pulls back his hand to show Moses just a glimpse of this gift that he seeks. For us, well, we've got a whole lot more than that. We've got a man who speaks, who breathes, who's human, who's divine, who protects us and battles for us and teaches us, and we've got a man on a cross, and we've got a man coming out of a tomb, and we've got him appearing to hundreds of people, and we've got the record of it, and we've got the story, and we've got his ongoing presence as he rules the world in grace. This is where we live, in his presence. We've got way more than Moses saw. Yes, he's still hidden. He doesn't hide himself in a rock. He hides himself in flesh and blood, human flesh and blood. He hides himself in you for me, and me for you, and in bread and wine, and in water, and in many other ways. So, friends, I want to say, be confident. You can be confident. You can name the issues you're facing. You can ask the questions you're experiencing. You can remember the promises made and ask the Lord to remember the promises He made and bank on them. And you can ask the Lord for what you need. But under it all, before it all, through it all, and after it all, go for more. Go for Him, not just what He can give you. Go for Him. Want Him. That's what Moses teaches us. And go ahead. Speak your name. Adrian, speak face to face with Jesus as one speaks to a friend. In the name of Christ, amen. And the peace of God, which is beyond all of our human understanding or effort, keep you in His presence, which is for you and with you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petrie Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetrie.org.au